For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with my co-host, Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we try to bring you a lot of really good information all about you and your health. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. You can visit the Village Green site or the store on Cedar Lane, and in both places, you can ask questions and get expert advice. So Village Green is your resource for questions about your health, and they do carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers, and especially take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. Now, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Tune in next Sunday for Kevin's show on thyroid with Mary Showman and Gina Nolan. Now, today's guest is Bill Schadl, and our topic is about omega fatty acids and bone nutrients for supportive core nutrition. Now, we've had Bill Schadl with us before, and we promised we would have him back on the show. Let me introduce him. Bill is an educator, and he educates doctors and helps them understand and apply nutrition as a therapeutic tool. He has managed sales teams, product lines, divisions, companies in the nutritional sciences field, and he has developed expertise in taking complex nutritional topics and explaining them in a clear and easy-to-understand way, which has given him the opportunity to speak to professionals throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, Mexico, and as far away as Australia. He has developed workshops and training programs on dozens of different health and nutrition topics. He's a co-author of the acclaimed Nutrition Masters Course series. He's currently the Senior Director of Training for Metagenics, where he uses his background and knowledge to help train representatives to support the practitioners in both the science behind and application of nutritional therapeutics. And I love that word science. I love the word research. This is important because it's something a lot of individuals still haven't arrived in the current knowledge of nutrition and understanding. There's so much science about it. I call it the math of the body. So welcome to the show, Bill.
Well, thank you so much, Dana. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about omega fatty acids, and since we do address this topic, and we are taking a different turn today and learning something new in the omega fatty acids, could you give us the background in the omegas and what we usually know about omega-6 and omega-3 and omega-9 and what's new, the omega-7s? So let's talk about that.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, there's a little bit of background that I think is helpful. Back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, scientists began understanding the connection between a high-fat diet and increased risk to cardiovascular disease. And it was based on some early research that indicated that people who consume high amounts of fat have a greater risk to developing coronary atherosclerosis or plaque in their major blood vessels and then suffer a heart attack or stroke. The interesting thing was that in the 60s and 70s, they realized that there's one subgroup of people found in northern Canada, Alaska, and around the Arctic Circle, the Eskimos, that eat almost exclusively fat or fat-rich diet, and yet they have very low incidence of heart disease. In fact, very low incidence of heart disease, stroke, cancers, and a number of other conditions, as long as they've continued to eat their indigenous diet. So that dichotomy seemed to not make sense to people, that how could it be that if we know that fat is associated with a higher risk to heart disease, how is it that these people don't have heart disease? Because the amount of fat they consume should be enough to clog your arteries almost overnight. Well, at first they thought that it was associated with some kind of genetic protective mechanism, and then they began realizing, largely because of the work of a scientist named Dr. Dierberg, that it was something in their diet specifically. And that led to the discovery of what we now know as EPA and DHA. EPA and DHA are two examples of an omega-3 oil. Now, there are two types of fats or fatty acids that are considered to be essential. Our bodies have the ability to manufacture a number of different fatty acids. You mentioned omega-3, 6, 9, 7, 10, 20. There's a lot of different fatty acids that we need, but only two of them we have to get in our diet. We cannot manufacture them because we lack the enzyme pathways that are necessary to take other fatty acids and convert them into these two. And the two fatty acids are omega-3 and omega-6, but specifically linoleic acid and alpha-linolenic acid. Those are the two that are considered to be essential. If we get those in our diet, we can then manufacture all the others from them, or at least all the those are the only two we can't manufacture, and downstream metabolites of those. Back to our story about the Eskimos. When they realized that it was a component of their diet, the omega-3 oils, EPA and DHA, which are examples of, as I said, two different downstream metabolites of omega-3 oils, that began probably a 50-year-to-date journey to help us to understand exactly what was going on. And we now know that the reason that they're beneficial is because they displace other types of fatty acids, which contribute to increased inflammation or increased likelihood of inflammation in the major blood vessels, and not coincidentally in other places as well. So it's not just that these fatty acids are good for us; we're understanding more and more how they relate to our health through the production or the reduction of inflammation. And as you've probably talked with your listeners at many times in the past, in inflammation, low-grade chronic inflammation, not what you'd find from a sports injury, but just a chronic kind of an inflammatory process in the body, is one of the most common risk factors and variables for virtually every major chronic degenerative disease, whether it be the obvious things like arthritis, or the more subtle things like even cardiovascular disease, obesity, osteoporosis, all of cancer. All of them have as a component, or one of the common risk factors, is inflammation. And the type of fats that we consume can either increase that inflammatory process or help to suppress it or reduce it. And animal fats are high in a type of fatty acid, which is an omega-6 oil called arachidonic acid, and that contributes to increases in inflammation, whereas the omega-3 oils, like you find in EPA and DHA, help to reduce inflammation. I'm not going to get into all the complex biochemical pathways associated with it, but it has to do with either suppressing or increasing the production of various enzymes that convert these fatty acids into inflammatory or non-inflammatory mediators. So that's the background in history, and that's one of the reasons that we hear so commonly that omega-3 oils, EPA and DHA, are so beneficial for us, because they help to reduce that inflammatory cascade and thereby reduce our risk to so many different chronic diseases that we're confronted with.
What a good description. And
thank you.
I think this has always been a complex issue, but it's apparent that many people do understand more about the omega-3s and the omega-6s, and it's not that they're bad or good. It's that they are part of a team, and we need the inflammation, but we don't want the chronic inflammation, and we don't want to consume foods that are going to push the omega-6s and therefore inflammation, and that's been the Western diet by and large. Let's go further. You mentioned the fish oil. Let's talk about some of the myths about fish oil that are current.
Okay. And thank you, by the way, for pointing that out about the inflammatory process. Inflammation in and of itself is neither good nor bad. You'd die if you didn't have the ability to produce inflammatory substances, because that's how your immune system heals. That's how we protect ourselves. The problem is that we just have so much of it going on all the time at a low-grade level that it's like your system is on full alert all the time. And that's not healthy for us, and that contributes to chronic diseases. But in terms of myths that are out there, there's a number of things that I've heard that are common in the lay press. Things like if you put fish oil in a freezer and it goes cloudy, then that means it has impurities in it and it's not healthy for you. And unfortunately, that's just bad science. That's not the case at all. The different oils in that are found in fish oil, and it's not just EPA and DHA, but there's other oils that the fish contains. There's other fatty acids that the fish manufacture and have part of their oil. It's that if each one of those oils has a slightly different melting point, and a different melting point also implies a different freezing point. It freezes and melts at a different temperature. So what you're seeing when the fish oil gets cloudy in the freezer is simply some of the oils are freezing because they have a different freezing point, and some of the other ones are staying clear. So that doesn't tell you that it's pure or not pure. It just tells you that it's a blend of different oils. Now, if a company is stating that all they have is one oil and that it's exclusively purified to that one oil, and you put it in the freezer and it goes cloudy and some of it is freezing and some is not, then that means that company's QA process is probably not as good as it should be, because in fact it looks like there are at least two different oils in there, one with different freezing point. So putting an oil in the freezer doesn't tell you if it's a good quality product or not. That just tells you that there's a variety of different oils in there.
You know, we see that in olive oil as well, and many other oils. They're stratified, and it's supposed to be, and you learn to do that when you take biochemistry and you see what happens to different substances at different temperatures. So
Exactly.
And one more myth before we move on to our break.
Okay. The second one is, I've seen on YouTube that if you put a fish oil in a styrofoam cup, that people say if it melts the cup, then it's a bad fish oil. Well, the fact is that that has nothing to do with what might be in the fish oil. That has to do with the chemistry of the styrofoam cup. Styrofoam is a polystyrene, which means that styrene is the chemical compound. It's just that's the type of chemical bond that makes up the styrofoam cup. And styrene is fat soluble, which means any fat substance will cause styrene to melt if you leave it in there long enough. And if that, or dissolve is a better term. And if that happens, then of course the styrofoam cup will sag and eventually disintegrate. So it has nothing to do with some kind of harsh or harmful preservative or toxic chemical that's in the fish oil. It has to do with the chemistry of styrene itself. So pure olive oil will make a styrofoam cup disintegrate over time, and that's certainly not bad for you. So
now, that's a good take home, and I am glad you mentioned it, because we should stay away from styrofoam cups anyway, and now we have more reasons. So thank you, Bill, for that. And for those of you who have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the day. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break.
Too much sugar in your body does more than add unwanted pounds. These sugar molecules bombard your body's cells, bonding with fats and proteins in a process known as glycation. And the end result leads to health issues that age your body. That's why so many people have jumped on the vitamin B6 bandwagon. B6 blocks the end products of glycation. Life Extension's paradoxal 5-phosphate is a bioactive form of vitamin B6. It enters your body ready to work. So do yourself a favor before you get 1 minute older. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extensions Paradoxal 5 Phosphate.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a wide variety of good information all about you and your health. Now, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and next week, Kevin will be interviewing Mary Showman and Gina Nolan, and the topic is thyroid. That's going to be very interesting. And today, we have an interesting topic and guest. Bill Shaddle has come back to visit with us and share some wisdom from Metagenics Incorporated, and our topic is the omegas, bone nutrients, and a supporting core nutrition. So we talked about fish oil myths, and we talked about a little bit about the essentials, the omega-3, the omega-6, and we've been going into the other omegas. So let's talk about the other numbers.
Okay. The omega-3s and the 6s are the two essentials, as you mentioned, which means that we have to get them from our diet. We don't have the ability to manufacture them ourselves. And in fact, for example, neither do fish. Fish don't make EPA and DHA, which are two examples of the omega-3 oils. They concentrate it from the foods that we consume or that they consume. So, for example, salmon, if it's line caught here in the United States, probably has a fair amount of EPA and DHA in it because the salmon that are line caught are eating the krill and other substances that actually manufacture the omega oil, the omega-3 oil. But if they're farm-raised, they may not, because it depends upon whether the food that's fed to the fish in their pens contains EPA and DHA. But because there was so much interest early on in the essential oils and what they did and how they worked, most of researchers focused on what the omega-3s and 6s were, how they benefited humans and what their pathways were and what they did and how they were metabolized. But the other oils, too, you mentioned 9s and 7s and other types of oils, which are not essential because our bodies have the ability to manufacture them, still are important for life. It doesn't mean that they don't do anything beneficial. It just means that in most cases, we have the ability to manufacture them. And what that translates to is that as researchers are beginning to look at some of these other oils, they're finding out some very, very interesting things that these oils do or that these fatty acids are capable of doing. And I mentioned before that the threes and sixes are involved, omega-3s and omega-6s are involved in the inflammatory process and inflammatory cascade. But lately there's been some research into what are called lipokines. Lipokines are like hormones that are made from fats. They carry signals from one fat cell to other parts of the body and contribute to things like increasing or reducing obesity because they're chemical messengers. And one theory is that some of these fatty acids may be associated with the production of lipokines. So early research by some researchers in Puerto Rico as well as at the Cleveland Clinic have looked at one particular type of fatty acid, which is an omega-7 oil. Now, the omega-7s, as I said, are things that our bodies can manufacture. And since the 40s, we've known about probably the most abundant omega-7 oil, which is called palmitic acid. Palmitic acid is in all the tissues that we have, our bodies. It's in all the cells of our body, and it's in many of the foods that we eat. But there's a second metabolite of palmitic acid. Palmitic acid can be converted into palmitoleic acid, which is significantly different than palmitic acid. So researchers noticed initially that animals that were fed high amounts of palmitoleic acid, not palmitic, but its metabolite, palmitoleic acid, have a reduced incidence of obesity. They have a reduced incidence of type 2 diabetes and reduced incidence of a variety of different markers of cardiovascular disease. And so they began wondering what might be going on here because the effect of the palmitoleic acid seemed to be much greater than the amount of the palmitoleic acid that they were consuming. So one theory, which I should stress has not been proven for certain yet, but it's a very intriguing area of research, is that perhaps palmitoleic acid acts as a lipokine, which means that it sends signals to other fat cells or other cells in the body to either increase or reduce their storage of fats or to increase or reduce the inflammatory cascade or other variables as well. But at the very least, palmitoleic acid, and again I stress, it's different than palmitic acid. Palmitoleic acid, which is not nearly as abundant in the body as palmitic acid, is turning out to be a very intriguing subject of a lot of emerging research. I mentioned the Cleveland Clinic. Some of your listeners may have heard of a Dr. Roizen, who is a consultant for Mehmet Oz on TV. Mehmet Oz ran a segment some time back in the past year or so that said that palmitoleic acid may be a very important nutrient that people should start considering as part of their diet. So the research which is emerging seems to indicate that palmitoleic acid has an important role in reducing cardiovascular risk factors, which is similar to EPA, omega-3 oils, but the difference is twofold. I mentioned the inflammatory process. There's a marker in the bloodstream called high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, or HSCRP, which is turning out to be a very sensitive early indicator of increased risk to not just cardiovascular disease, but lots of other conditions, because it's an early marker of low-grade chronic inflammation. If your HSCRP, your high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, is elevated, that's an indication of increased chronic inflammation. Well, the omega-7 as palmitoleic acid in preliminary studies has been shown in both animals and humans to be able to reduce by as much as 50 or 60% high-sensitivity C-reactive protein markers, meaning that it's helping to control that inflammatory cascade. And in addition to that, when taking fish oils, it's well known that fish oils will lower your triglycerides and lower your cholesterol, particularly the HDL cholesterol. What's not so easy to do is to raise the good cholesterol, which is HDL. And so far, there's very few things that will actually raise HDL cholesterol. Among them are niacin, which causes uncomfortable flushing in some people, and exercise. But new research is indicating that the palmitoleic acid can actually increase HDL while it also reduces LDL, total cholesterol, triglycerides, and the high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. So there's a very interesting research that's emerging on omega-7, specifically palmitoleic acid. And your listeners may have heard of macadamia nut oil or sea buckthorn. Those are common sources of both palmitic and palmitoleic. But you have to be careful because palmitic acid, which is the precursor to palmitoleic acid, can actually contribute to certain increased risk factors like type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. At least that's what it appears. Because some of the research, if you Google omega-7 or palmitoleic and palmitic acid, you'll find that some of the research shows it helps and some of the research shows it doesn't help. And our theory is that the reason that it's showing that it's sometimes less than helpful is because the oil may be a blend of palmitic and palmitoleic. What you want to find is something that's a purified palmitoleic with the palmitic acid removed.
So that is the important factor here. And, you know, the body, as you know, Bill, but just to emphasize for listeners, we have gas pedals and we have brake pedals. And
right,
we have substances that convert to a variety of both good and, or I should say, beneficial and negative problematic metabolites or substances. And it depends on what the body needs at the time. It's a very complex system. It isn't simple. And so palmitic can get a bad reputation when it's not totally bad.
Yeah. Well, it's in all of our tissues.
Yes, it is the most common fatty acid, and we certainly need it, and it certainly has gotten some bad press. But here we have an understanding of the palmitoleic acid in the omega-7 series. Now, do we know what can convert more palmitic to palmitoleic?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is an enzyme called delta-9 desaturase that is the key rate-limiting enzyme in the conversion of palmitic into palmitoleic acid. There's a number of different enzymes that are involved in these cascades, delta-5 desaturase, delta-6 desaturase, and in this case, delta-9 desaturase. It's sometimes known by a different name in the literature, but it is, in fact, the same thing. It's called delta-9 desaturase. The other name is called steroyl-CoA desaturase. That's what it's also known as.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the rate-limiting enzyme. And, in fact, there are a couple of studies that have looked at that have measured the amount of palmitoleic acid in the bloodstream of humans and animals as an indicator of how active that enzyme is. So with some people, it can be more active than in others, but it is the rate-limiting enzyme, and it is usually not very active in humans. So most people have fairly low levels of palmitoleic acid, which means that there's a fair abundance of palmitic acid, but the conversion into palmitoleic is diminished because of the low activity of that enzyme, delta-9 desaturase.
Well, I would wonder then, based on what you're talking about, we know a lot about delta-6 desaturase in the omega-3-6 pathways. There are blockers, alcohols one, sugars one, but trans fatty acids are significant blockers of delta-6, and I'm just proposing, I don't know this, that I wonder if trans wouldn't also be blocking the delta-9 desaturase enzymes. And by the way, the desaturase enzymes are also dependent on magnesium and B6, and magnesium is probably, outside of iron deficiency, the most common deficiency, not well identified, unfortunately.
I would agree. That's a very intriguing thought, and it may very well be. I don't know of any research specifically that's looked at that, although it could be out there. There are a number of things that will diminish the activity of those enzymes. You mentioned B6 and magnesium and actually B12 and folate as well will, if they're deficient in the diet. But another thing that's intriguing is that in addition to that, if you have a high concentration of another oil where that enzyme is involved in its conversion, for example, using the case of delta-6-desaturase, delta-6-desaturase is involved in the metabolism of both omega-6 and omega-3, which means that arachidonic acid requires delta-6-desaturase, as does EPA, to be produced, because that same enzyme works in both pathways.
Yes.
If you have a diet that's really high in one fatty acid, then you get what's called an enzyme steal, which means that the enzyme is used up in the metabolism of the more predominant fatty acid, which means that there's less of it available for the other one. So in our diet today, where we would like to have a 1-to-1 ratio of 3 and 6 oil, for example, it's closer to 20-to-1 in favor of the arachidonic acid or the omega-6s, which means that there's very little delta-6-desaturase left over to metabolize the omega-3 oil into the beneficial EPA and DHA. And I would guess that the same thing is true with delta-9 and palmitoleic converted from palmitic acid, that there would be a number of things that would block or reduce its efficacy and leave us with a relative deficiency or a conditional essentiality of that nutrient. Conditional essentiality just means that even though it's technically not an essential nutrient, there may be conditions that arise that make it essential for you, which means that you're not getting enough from your diet and you would benefit from a supplement of it.
Yeah, you have clarified that, and I know this is complex. We'll carry this conversation on in the next segment. And for those of you who have just joined us, I'm Dana Lake, your host with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with more good information from Bill Schadl of Metagenic.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides whole holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301 301- 530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Next week, Kevin will have an interview with Mary Showman and Gina Nolan, and the topic is thyroid. And Mary Showman is the expert here. So today's guest is Bill Shaddle, and we have been talking about omegas. We talked about omega-3s, omega-6s, the balance, that we tend to have way too many omega-6s, therefore going toward inflammation relative to omega-3. So you've heard that before, but then we talked about the omega-7s, and we talked about palmitic acid, which is the most common fatty acid in all our tissues, but it does convert, again, to some problematic fatty acids, but some very positive and helpful beneficial palmitoleic fatty acid, which is excellent at reducing obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular, C-reactive protein marker. And so here we have another fatty acid, again, that depends on good diet, not overwhelming with the pro-inflammatory foods and fatty acids, and good nutrition, nutrients that help the enzymes behave and convert in the way they should. So let's talk now about bone nutrients. So Bill, let's fill our guests in on information on bone nutrients.
Okay, thank you. This is, a very important and valuable topic, partly because it has such a profound impact on the quality of our life as we get older. But the interesting thing about it is that bone health is really a function of what happens when we're young. And what we're talking about is osteoporosis and the precursor to osteoporosis, which is called osteopenia. And simply said, osteoporosis and osteopenia are where the bones gradually lose enough mineral that they become porous and they can no longer support your normal activity. So that even simple things like walking or working can contribute to a fracture. And technically speaking, osteoporosis is when the bones become so fragile that they just break. And the mortality and morbidity that's associated with that, not so much mortality, you don't die directly from the fracture, but the morbidity that's associated with it is very significant, because 50% of the people who have a fracture never get out of bed. When I'm talking about an osteoporosis fracture, like you've heard of people who fall and break their hip. They go into the hospital for recuperation of the fracture. The fracture may heal, but the bones are so fragile and so porous that they never can support normal function after that. So the patient goes directly from the hospital bed to a convalescent home. And unfortunately, that becomes a self-perpetuating problem, because one of the things you need for healthy bones is weight-bearing exercise. Well, if you can't walk and you're in a hospital bed, you don't get weight-bearing exercise, so the problem becomes compounded. And the quality of life is dramatically reduced, and people unfortunately tend to pass away rather quickly. Now, the thing about that is that much of that is preventable, but not in late in life. It's preventable early in life, which brings us to a concept called peak bone mass or peak bone density. Peak bone mass is the most dense your bones will ever be. And that's found somewhere, it's variable from person to person, and genetics to genetics, and diet and a lot of other things will contribute to that concept. But it happens between somewhere around 25 to 35 years of age. So all of the activity prior to that you do, all the exercise and the dietary choices and lifestyle choices that you make, contribute to increased bone density, or if you make poor choices, they can contribute to not getting as high a number as you could. And I say this as if there are an arbitrary number. There really isn't. It varies from person to person. But for each individual, there is a point at which the bones become as dense as they will ever be. Now, a second point to bear in mind, in addition to the peak bone mass issue, which I'll come back to in a second, is that bones are constantly being remodeled. Our bodies are constantly breaking down bone and then rebuilding it. And that process is coupled so that the process of building up bone happens faster than the process of tearing down bone up until you reach peak bone mass at about age 30 or 35. And then gradually over time, the process of tearing down bone is not matched by building up bone. And so you begin to lose bone density from peak bone mass very, very slowly. But over time, it will happen so that eventually the bones become so weak, if you live long enough, your bones will become so weak that they can no longer support you. Fortunately, which is kind of a weird way of saying it, but most of us, that won't happen until we're over 100. So by that time, we're already gone, so it doesn't really matter. But with women in particular, small-framed women, and men as well, because about one out of every three people with osteoporosis is a man, that process is accelerated in women at menopause because there's a protective effect of estrogen. Now, the cells that protective effect on the bone, the cells that are involved in bone buildup and bone teardown are three different types of cells. This is a natural, normal, healthy process. It helps to keep your bones strong over time. The cells that tear down bone are called osteoclasts. The cells that build up bone are called osteoblasts. And then osteoblasts mature into a third type of cell called an osteocyte, which stays resident in the bone. So you have osteoblasts tearing down bone or remodeling it, osteoblasts building it up, and then the bone becomes nourished with osteocytes after the work has been done. And this is a constant cycle throughout your life, throughout every bone in your body.
Bill, what I'd like to do is put in a plug here. There's actually a test that can be done on the urine, I know you're aware of this, that identifies these peptides from bone breakdown, from the osteoclast doing their work. And if that's accelerated, if that's too high, there's a point at which you're not going to be able to build up the bone as effectively.
Exactly.
So we use that as a screening tool. It's a great screening tool to go along with, doesn't replace having a DEXA scan. Certainly doesn't replace a DEXA scan. But it's nice that this can be assessed. And I'm finding that many of the traditional physicians are starting to utilize the test. It's not expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There are a number of tests like that, and I think that those can be very valuable as screening tools. They have to be interpreted properly.
Yes.
Because if someone is an athlete, they're going to have different markers than someone sedentary, and you have to know what else. You can't. I guess I'm saying you can't look at it in a vacuum. You have to know what's going on in the patient's health, and any reputable and responsible doctor will do that.
Yeah, I like that you said that. I mean, that's true of the body mass index as well. Very well-muscled person who has relatively low body fat may show up as a risk for obesity on the BMI, which is, you know, not accurate. It's not adjusted for that.
No, it's not. And in terms of risk factors, this is a very interesting thing that happens. I mentioned earlier that this is a disease of young people. Osteoporosis is considered a pediatric condition. And that's because the choices that someone makes when they're young set the stage to either increase the likelihood of osteoporosis or even prevent it if you make the right choices. So, for example, exercise, weight-bearing exercise, is very, very important. So kids that are sitting at home doing their video games rather than being out playing in the yard are increasing their probability of developing osteoporosis 30 and 40 and 50 years later in their lives, which is really tragic because they don't understand. You know, when you're 10 years old, you think you're going to live forever, and you think that being 30 is ancient. But those kids are actually creating an environment in their bones, which are going to contribute to a loss of quality of life when they're 50, 60, and 70. Other things that contribute to it, which ties back to what happens with kids, is that one of the things that's happened in our society in the past 20 and 30 years is that kids are not drinking as much milk, and they're replacing it with soda. Now, on one hand, I'm not advocating that everybody should drink milk, because there are people that can't tolerate milk, but milk is probably the richest source of calcium, or one of the richest sources of calcium that most of us have access to. So if those kids aren't getting the calcium from milk, that sets the stage for osteoporosis and osteopenia. But it's even worse than that, because in most cases, those kids don't just replace milk with, say, water, which would be beneficial for other reasons. They replace it with soda. And what's the problem with soda? Soda has high amounts of phosphorus in it, which then causes the body to pull calcium out of the bone to balance the calcium to phosphorus ratio in the bloodstream, which must be set at a certain level. So if you increase phosphorus in your diet, you're going to increase the body's demand for calcium. And if you don't get that from your diet, it's going to be pulled out of the bones, which further weakens the bones early on. So what do these kids do? They stop drinking milk, and they start drinking sodas instead, not understanding what that does to their bones 20 and 30 years from then.
I'm so glad you mentioned this. I feel like I harp on this subject. I tell parents, if you wouldn't give your child a martini, don't give them sodas. And it's just not possible to maintain healthy bone and consume a lot of junk food and sodas. Phosphorus is one of the most abundant nutrients. Rarely is it ever deficient. I think, Bill, I've seen two or three cases whole career, because it's abundant in healthy food, but it's overabundant in junk food. So when we get this high phosphorus in the diet, we are now depleting. I call it soda's an electrolyte antagonist. We are depleting our bank account of nutrients, the calcium, magnesium, zinc, copper, so many manganese, these nutrients, not just essential to health, but essential to bone as well. So I'm glad you emphasize that. Also, by the time menses starts in girls, your diet at that time is a critical piece as to whether you'll develop osteoporosis at an earlier age. And so we have a whole generation, several generations of children that really are destined for osteoporosis. It's unfortunate.
We are. I mentioned the type of cell that's involved in bone breakdown. It's called an osteoclast. And you might have heard of, or your listeners might have heard of, osteoclast inhibitors, which are drugs called bisphosphonates. And what they do is inhibit the osteoclast from tearing down bone. Now, on the surface, that might sound like it's a good thing, because osteoclasts are what cause bone degradation. But the problem is that the process of tearing the bone down is an important component of keeping your bones healthy. What these osteoclasts do is they break down older bone tissue that needs to be repaired and replenished. So if you inhibit the osteoclast, then that process doesn't continue to happen. And the net result is that in some people, it can actually create further problems by not allowing the normal and natural replenishment and replacement of healthy bone tissue to take place. And you've heard of not just the digestive upsets that are associated with osteoclast inhibitors, but there's things like mandibular necrosis, which is actual decay of the jawbone that's believed to be contributed to by osteoclast inhibitors. So people are looking for healthy alternatives. It used to be that estrogen was considered the best thing to do, but since the Women's Health Initiative of 10 years ago showed that there's lots of problems with estrogen, that's since been slightly modified, but still not everybody past menopause should be taking estrogen.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up. We need to expand this in our next segment. If folks have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the day. And stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this break with our final segment.
Want to digest your food more effectively and more comfortably, you need extraordinary enzymes from Life Extension. With 12 natural enzymes that work together to support a healthy digestive system, extraordinary enzymes helps your body convert protein, fiber, and fat to energy and better absorb nutrients from the foods you eat. It also helps break down vegetables that are hard to digest. And unlike commercial supplements, it doesn't contain the amylase enzyme, which can promote unhealthy after-meal glucose spikes. So stop by Village Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extension's extraordinary enzymes. New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Killham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalardi from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. And we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Next week, Kevin, my co-host, will be talking about thyroid with Mary Schoeman and Gina Nolan. Now, today's guest has been Bill Shattle, and our topic is about omegas. We talked about omega-3, omega-6. We went into the new omega-7s, and we've been talking about bone nutrients. Very interesting, the breakdown and buildup of bone. And we touched on the bisphosphonate medications, which stop the breakdown of old bone, and then rendering that bone actually not as healthy. So we'll talk a little bit more about that and then swing into the nutrients for healing bone. And when we're talking, we are always talking about supporting core nutrition, diet, lifestyle, supplements. We cover it all. So, Bill, just a few more words about the bisphosphonate and what nutrients are critical to bone health.
Okay, thank you, Dana. Yeah, the issue about bisphosphonates is a fairly serious one, and I'm not suggesting that bisphosphonates are not appropriate for anybody, because there are people that do benefit from them. But what's happening is that because of the gastric upset, the digestive upset, you have to sit upright for 20 minutes after you take the drug in the morning, and people are looking for natural alternatives. Well, calcium is clearly one of the most important ones, and we want to be sure that we're getting adequate amounts of calcium both in our diet and supplementally if we need to. But the thing that people forget is that bone is not just made of calcium. Bone is made of calcium. There's a number of other minerals, including phosphorus and zinc and selenium and magnesium and in trace amounts, but it also contains a component of protein. So bone is very much like poured concrete with reinforcing bars. The concrete is the minerals. That's the calcium and magnesium and primarily calcium and phosphorus and other minerals. But then interspersed in that in that matrix is a web of protein, very similar to the reinforcing bars that you find in concrete. And you need both of them in order to make healthy bone. Well, it turns out that research has shown that a specially processed veal bone, it's not bone meal because that's usually made from old cattle, but veal bone contains these growth factors that are important for helping to regenerate and rebuild and support healthy bone. So a properly processed substance, which, by the way, has got the kind of chemical-sounding term, microcrystalline hydroxyapatite concentrate, or MCHC, research has shown that MCHC actually will support healthy bone and may contribute to the repair of damaged bone. Studies have shown that people who take people who take corticosteroids, for example, have significantly increased levels of osteoporosis, even to the point that they get chronic back pain, which is actually caused by microfractures in the vertebra. That those people who are taking MCHC in comparison to a placebo have dramatically reduced pain scores over time, indicating that the MCHC is contributing to repair of the bone, even in the presence of ongoing destruction by corticosteroids. And there's a number of studies that have compared MCHC to regular calcium supplements and shown that it can be significantly beneficial in comparison to them. So microcrystalline hydroxyapatite concentrate with good science to support it may be a good alternative to people who are looking to improve and support the health and integrity of their bone as they get older.
Yeah, that is very important to mention, the mineralization of bone and the importance of magnesium. I personally consider magnesium more important than calcium because magnesium is essential for the utilization of calcium. And taking calcium without adequate magnesium, at least half as much, sometimes even equal amounts, depends on the person. But if we don't have that magnesium, we're promoting more inflammation and calcification of soft tissues. And that's why some of the large studies that just looked at calcium showed that it wasn't that effective with bone. And also the star, vitamin D3. Just a few more words about bone health and its tie-in with core health.
Well, I think I appreciate that because I think that what we've talked about so far has been throughout our conversation is about supplements and about the importance of lifestyle choices. And I want to stress that taking supplements in the absence of making good lifestyle choices, which include exercise, stress reduction, healthy relationships, and most importantly, the choice of the foods that you consume, taking supplements has limited value. And that's going to sound weird coming from somebody who's spent his life, as I have, working in the supplement industry. But the fact is that if you don't watch what you eat, if you're not careful about the quality of the food that you put in your body, taking supplements is going to have limited value. The greatest value you can get is by choosing your food properly, by eating a healthy diet, which consists of lots of different colorful, naturally pungent fruits and vegetables, and limiting the amount of animal fats that you consume, getting plenty of water, plenty of fresh air and sunshine, regular exercise, weight-bearing exercise, that's going to have the greatest value. Then supplements should be just that. They should supplement, not replace, the value of a good diet.
Excellent. Excellent takeaway. Okay, thank you, Bill, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us on The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.